would like to explain something, gentlemen, before we go to line three. What happened?
Number one, let's clear up the whole situation.
All right.
In the three meetings we had, the majority of the ethics committee, we get financial reports. We get the secretary's report, minutes, and we get the auditor's report. And in the 3 years that Dr. Lyons has been president, there is no missing money from the financial report, from the secretary's report, or the auditor's report. As a matter of fact, we went to Denver, $19,000 in the red. So that was point one. He did not dip in the treasurers of the National Baptist Convention and get any money. So then that sent us, where did the money come from? And we discovered that he did have a discretionary account that he opened, the United Bank in St. Petersburg, into which he deposited three kinds of money: his own personal speaking money, his own endorsement money, and a group that he had put together to work out various kinds of relationships with business for which they paid.
Yes.
Now, that brought in Demps and that brought in Miss Edwards. We suggested to him that, number one, he should not have opened that account without board approval, and number two, he should not have run those particular funds through a discretionary account because it was not convention's money. His speaking money is not convention's money. But if you run it in the name of the convention, then it becomes accountable to the convention. And that's where we had a long list that I don't think they printed even, of things that should not have been done. And that's where he got into serious problems that he himself admitted, repented, and asked us to forgive him. And he himself ordered that account turned over to my committee for a complete account.
All right, so Dr. Hill, since we have that resolved, here's the inevitable question that I would ask you in light of all of that. Since he did that on his own and without the commission's blessings or the convention's blessings, was that infraction, if it was indeed an infraction, serious enough to remove him from the presidency of the convention?
No.
Why?
Because, first of all, he did not try to deny it. Second of all, he cooperated fully with the committee. And third, he asked for forgiveness.
Pastor Hill, I could do something like that and not deny it and ask for forgiveness without the intention of being real about the deal. I'm saying that if, would you agree that if that would happen in a secular field, in any kind of business, that they would remove the CEO from that position?
Well, I really don't know because I'm not in the secular world. I am in the religious world, and I have a mandate.
Is it not a fact, therefore, that since we are supposed to be Christians and living on a higher standard than the secular world, that you would expect that automatically of
you
our
would definitely group? Expect him, and if he tried and did
so,
not repent, you'd put him out.
We are not
if he
talking
asked
about,
you forgiveness,
we are not talking,
then that's another
we
thing.
Are not talking about repentance. Aren't we rather speaking about the integrity of the institution itself on which it stands?
No, I don't think we're talking about the integrity of the institution, because when the institution discovered the problem,
well, can the institution be
moved.
Trusted? Can the institution be trusted if you will not remove people that refuse to do things that have been placed in that position by the 8.5 million people that entrusted these leaders to that care? Can that convention be trusted?
Yes.
Reputation of those outside the church, meaning the press, so that he may not fall into a reproach.
That's an unusual interpretation. That's an unusual interpretation.
They're outside of the faith. They're outside of the faith. You admitted that they're outside of the faith. They're outside of the faith. You admitted that
they're outside of the faith. They're not going to accuse them of being outside of the faith.
Well, no, they can't be. Listen,
you don't trust a brother in Christ?
You don't trust a brother in Christ. What kind of believer?
Well, as I said, I don't trust them.
Corinthians 8:21 says, "For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." This means all men. We don't just choose the ones we want to talk to. We have to talk to everybody. You see, if the Bible is our mandate and the standard, my inevitable question is, how can we play this off and be justified with the God that we say we serve?
Well, I feel completely justified, and I feel completely comfortable because I've now been pastoring 42 years, and as I said, I'm a charter member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and I have never known the white press to be for us.
Pastor, that's not the issue.
That's not
racism.
It's the biblical mandate. Give me Galatians, and I'll give it to you.
Can we finish up with the excellence?
That's the standard. If that wasn't the standard, we wouldn't have had no committee on the ethics.
Okay, well, let's go to line three.
Get Galatians.
We'll get Galatians, but you have to give me the verse. Helen, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, let me tell you, brothers, I'm sitting here in an absolutely shocked mind. I don't care, Pastor Hill, I've respected you for years, and I don't want to attack you, but I'm shocked. I don't care if you've been a member for 42 years of this convention. I don't care how many years you've been in the ministry. How in the world can you people say the white press or any press against this man? Where is his accountability? If the elders and the bishops in the churches are supposed to have some accountability, where is it with this man? You may have forgiven him, but what would God have done? Would he have left him in this spot? I'm hurt. I'm shocked. I've had a pastor to commit adultery, and the elders didn't do it right. And here I hear you, Pastor Hill. How could you do this?
Thank you, Helen. Because I forgave him.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. God bless you.
But did Helen get that?
Listen to this. Pastor Hill, I'm so glad that you raised that. If a brother is overtaken in a fault, mm-hmm. in the Greek the term overtaken is meaning that he is in the process of running a race to win. In other words, his ulterior motive was Jesus. Mm-hmm. The ultimate objective of everything that he was running for mm-hmm. was to win for the Lord. And while he was en route to win, mm-hmm. Satan came up on him and tricked him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this very same man said, no, I never been married twice, I forgot, and had two other wives. All right. This very same man bought a house, forged signatures and everything else.
Allegations are the same.
Now, this was not overtaken in a fault. So I would differ with you. You can't use Galatians 6:1 because
let me say anything about it.
I'm sorry. I'll let you exegete it. I was just going to exegete it.
No, but let me exegete it another way.
Well, there's only one way.
And there's one plain way of reading it. Don't give me the Greek and all of that. Let's just read it for what it says.
Okay.
It says here that if a brother is overtaken in a fault, mm-hmm. ye that are spiritual. Now, that's the first problem.
What do you mean it's a problem?
It's a problem because many people who are calling in and many people who have talked, and including the witch call, don't qualify on this ye that are spiritual.
I think Helen is overtaken in a fault.
Okay.
I believe he was. And so you believe that he was.
Yes.
Now, most of us don't believe that he was. Most of us believe that he planned that with Bernice, that woman, and all that stuff was a plan of his to do that, and he carried the plan out. Overtaken in a fault is when the devil creeps up on you and tricks you. Are you saying that Brother Lyons was not tricked?
I'm not saying that Brother Lyons was not tricked. I'm saying that Brother Lyons was overtaken in a fault.
Now, overtaken by whom?
Overtaken by whom? By himself. He himself. Number one, I'm glad that's not Jesus' plan of salvation. Put me in a corner to sweep 5 years. Number two, we decided not to put him in the corner to sweep. And we are an autonomous democratic body.
Let me give you what the Bible decided not to do.
I'm glad that that's not Jesus' plan of salvation.
We're not talking about salvation, though. This is not a salvation issue.
But I said I'm glad that's not his plan.
I want to give you Jesus' plan of salvation. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, let the elders, that means the pastors, who rule well...
Now, that's not the plan of salvation.
Just a second. This is a part of the canon of Scripture, so this is canonical for the church. And it says, let them be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Dr. Lyons was a pastor. I'm assuming that he was preaching and teaching. And then it goes on in verse 19 and says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. They wasn't talking about the St. Petersburg Times. They're talking about what the ethics committee found to be true. And then it says, those who continue in sin. You're saying that the man isn't continuing. It says, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest may be fearful of sinning. You said earlier in this discourse or discussion that that's the way it's always been done. I'm having
Wait a minute.
The convention is run without rules.
No, that's not true. The convention has rules, it has constitution, it has bylaws, but it has a very broad discretion for those who are president.
I heard that. What line you guys want me to go to? Let's go to line one. Thank you for calling. You're on with Pastor Hill, Pastor John, and guest.
Hello.
Who am I speaking to?
My name's Anthony.
Okay, Anthony, go ahead.
Pastor Hill, it's a great pleasure to have just a couple of moments here with you in the course of this time. I appreciate and have listened with great interest to all the comments that have been made thus far. I would just add on a personal note that it's a very sad commentary and is no different from church history that scandalous information like this has to be disseminated in the public forum when 1 Corinthians 6 talks about this being to our shame that we go to judgment one with another, brother to brother at law.
What's scandalous about
the unbelievers?
What is scandalous about this discussion in your mind, brother?
Well, scandalous from the standpoint of this gentleman, Mr. Lyons, who's the information of which I haven't been able to piece all together, but for failing to report, I guess, a discretionary deposit into a bank without reporting it. But in 1 Corinthians 5, the ungodly brother who was condemned for advocating fornication was put out of the church. That Paul said, let such an one be given over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. But we find in 2 Corinthians that the same gentleman, Paul exhorts the believers not to overburden him with too much sorrow. And
what's
so
your point? What's your point,
receive.
My brother? What's your point?
This
what's
gentleman,
your point?
Mr. Lyons, was not suspect of fornication and or of a gross sin in that respect.
So what is the point?
Perhaps of an oversight on his part.
An oversight.
With regard to his understanding of church formality in regards to the execution
of the deposit
in the bank.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, my brother. Pastor Hill, would you say that this was just an oversight on Dr. Lyons' behalf?
No, I don't think it was just an oversight. I think that it... hindsight, which is 20/20, I think it was a mistake of judgment. It was a poor call, if you want to say it.
Okay.
I have no problems with him receiving honorariums and what have you. I have no.
What is an honorarium? Just for our listening audience, I may not know what that is.
Well, if he'd come and speak for you and you agreed to give him an honorarium of $5,000, that's an honorarium. You agreed to give him $50, that's an honorarium.
Are these taxable things?
Yes, you have to report that.
In other words,
that
has to be reported.
Yes. Yeah, you have to report. I mean, just like President Nixon, Reagan, went to Japan and spoke 30 minutes and got $2 million. That's an honorarium.
That's a lot of money.
Well, you know, most public speakers like that, they get from $50,000 up just for speech. You see these people at conventions and political conventions. That's a minimum of $50,000. So those are honorariums, and so when you become president of the National Baptist Convention, you run both into, and I heard it as I was coming, you run both into the cultural situation. Culturally, we do honor, esteem, and give broad latitude to the person that we elect as president, and we pray.
Now, what we're doing here is when you bring in the cultural, wouldn't you agree with me that once you bring in the premise of the cultural, have to deal with the culture, and if you place the culture over the Christian thing that we
No, 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 but
there?
Becoming Christian doesn't deny that you are not a part of a culture.
Oh, well,
but the culture must conform to the writings of Jesus Christ.
Now, so therefore, would you say in this whole scenario that the culture has conformed to Jesus?
It has to be.
No, I'm saying that has it happened in the Lyons case thus far?
No.
Now, so therefore you would say to the convention members what? If you were to give an appeal as one of the leaders in the convention, since since the culture does not abide by the biblical standard, what would you say to the 8.5 million membership of the National Baptist Convention in terms of this whole situation?
Number one, let's add to our laws and bylaws and constitution, which we did on Friday.
Would you allow the people to add to
the investigative committee? Wait a minute. The investigative committee is no more.
Okay, so who is...
The convention, it has to be... All right.
Can the people, this is what I need to ask, can the people make the laws for the convention that they give the money to?
If you came out of a Baptist church, you know the people make the laws.
I also know, since I came out of a Baptist church, that the Baptist church is so autonomous that they will tell you to your face, we making this law, and you getting out of here and step. Now, see, that's the kind of Baptist church I was in.
Well,
and so I'm saying, my brother, since it's so autonomous, I mean, man, it's not written in stone.
No, and I'm glad it's not.
Why?
I'm glad it's not written in stone. It gives us an opportunity to participate, just what you've been asking for. On Friday, after all of the hullabaloo and the press is all gone, we pretty well adopted every kind of resolution that we thought would tighten up and bring to bear a situation where we would not face this situation.
May I have a copy of that? I'd love to have a copy of that.
Oh, yes. Well,
all right. Fine.
Okay, now, but wait a minute now.
Okay.
But part of what you'll get is the revision of the Constitution, which has been being in writing for 2 years. It has to be read 3 years in a row.
Okay.
So we've been working on that for 2 years, and it had most of the answers.
But it is time to get that thing revised.
Well, but you can't go against the Constitution. You have to read it 3 years in succession.
And so what happens until that
time? We vote on it in January.
All right, but until that time.
Yeah, then we abide with what we have.
Thank you for holding from Redlands. What's your question?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Pastor John. I have a question for Reverend Hill, and I'd like to go to the Bible if I could. In 1 Timothy 3 and 2, it says a bishop, in the King James Version, it says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And I recall hearing a couple of weeks ago on Living by the Word, an allegation where Reverend Lyons said in the newspaper that he had a couple of other wives, but he had forgotten about that. And I was wondering, now, if that is true, then how can a man who has three wives be the president or the leader of a large Christian organization or any Christian organization? Is that statement true? Has he been married three times? Did the committee investigate that? That's my question.
Thank you for your question, my brother. God bless you.
The committee prepared 101 questions. Based on the book you have there, I read 600.
Okay.
I'd like to answer his question.
Sure.
First, can he be president? Yes, he was voted by the majority of that convention.
And so
that's what made him president. And
does that mean...
No, not anybody can't. And you can ask the other three delegates. I mean, candidates, and they'll put horns on and a tail and get enough votes, you'll be president of that convention.
Pastor Hill, let me please...
But now, wait a minute now, but I didn't answer. I answered his situation. That's how he became president of the National Baptist Convention.
Is that adequate?
Yes, we believe it. We believe it.
You believe that to be adequate?
Yes.
Okay, now, let me ask
you. Because I believe those who are voting, and incidentally, I told you, I didn't vote for him. I believe those who are voting were prayerful and careful as much as they could be.
So, therefore, the implication of that statement is that God was involved in the selection of this man as a leader.
I believe he was.
Very interesting.
I believe he was as involved in the election of Lyons as he was in the kingship of David.
My Lord.
That's wrong.
That's right. Pastor Hill, do you know what you just said?
Yes.
That means that you said it was God's foreordained purpose to put someone like Henry Lyons in that position.
And all things work together.
Now, wait.
And one of the things that we work together is that we're going to have a better convention.
But yet you said you wouldn't vote for him. Wait a minute.
No, he didn't.
I did not.
You said that it was God's predetermined purpose to put this man in, God knowing everything was going to happen.
He would have gotten in had it not been God's predetermined purpose.
Could the devil have had anything to do with the election of this man getting in there?
Yes, he could.
Possibly?
Yes, he could.
Now, how do we determine?
That would fall under God's permissive will. And if God permits something, then there's a purpose.
So how can we safeguard and determine whether the devil's dupe won't get in there? How can we as the church protect
ourselves? No more than I can safeguard somebody succeeding you at this mic won't be the devil's dupe.
I will pray that the fool that succeeds me, if he is the devil's dupe, that God kills his scroungy behind before he shows up for the next show.
I hope that the Lord will hear his repentance and forgive him.
No, I hope that he would never don a living God's word shirt and misrepresent the man.
No,
I cannot believe. We don't have any more calls?
We're qualified to be in judgment on people. I'm not.
Well, the Bible says you should be qualified.
No, but I'm not.
Why not?
The Bible says the first stone.
I'm not casting the stone. The Bible says that judgment.
I think you cast a huge stone.
No. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God.
Whose judgment? Not mine.
The judgment of God through the instruments that he's chosen to perfect his word.
No, wait. That instrument himself might be judged.
And that instrument wants to be judged. Since I'm the one that's doing the judging, I want God to judge me. God is saying, man, you have a mandate to judge. When Jesus says, judge not lest ye be judge, he merely meant, don't cast judgment unless you understand what that means and you're able to stand under that same judgment that you're casting.
And I probably couldn't stand under that judgment.
So,
and that would be one of my shortcomings.
I think we're running out of time here, so let's run down to our final question. Pastor Hill, what is the status of the National Baptist Convention?
Yes. Still debate. You know, it was to come to L.A.
I hope so.
No, I hope it won't.
Why?
We'll lose many people from the South. If we take it to Nashville, that's closer, they can be there.
Okay.
And so to bring it away to Los Angeles, if you've been on planes lately, you know that the price is way up.
Sure.
So I hope it will be in Nashville, and that's our national headquarters.
Okay.
That's what's drawing all the money from the convention, and so they ought to be there to see it.
Pastor Hill,
now, at that meeting,
okay,
we will say what has been done that we felt needed tightening. I resent very much you are the St. Petersburg Times and we had no rules.
Yes.
We're 117 years old.
Yes.
You know Baptists would not exist 7 months without rules.
Okay.
So we've had rules. We're running into some unique situations that heretofore we have neither known that they would exist or if we knew it, those who knew it turned the head.
May I ask you?
So now we have to make some rules for that.
May I ask you?
And we will have them in January.
When you have your meeting in January, would I be welcomed as an open participant to come and sit in those meetings?
No.
Why wouldn't I be?
Because it will be the National Baptist Convention in its business session, and only delegates would be welcome.
Why wouldn't a pastor like myself be invited in to hear this? What's so secret about these delegated meetings here?
No more than you wouldn't be invited in the Mount Zion Baptist Church business meeting.
In other words, since I guess I understand your interest in that we want to report to the people be invited in a meeting like that.
Well, no, I'm still saying it would be closed to the delegates of the convention. I think most conventions from here to the Democratic Party, you would have to have a delegate badge to get in the door.
But this is a Christian organization.
And there are many of them. There are many of them.
Oh, man, this is some interesting stuff. My God, this hour has gone by so quick. Dr. Hill, I want to thank you for attending here with us.
But I didn't get down to the questions I wanted.
You want to come back next week and
finish? No, of course.
Oh, maybe we can get tonight. We want to thank you, gentlemen, for joining us in the booth, and thank you, listening audience, for listening to Listening by the Word.
Living by the Word.
And this is...
Now, do you see how easy things can be different?
Of course. Thanks for listening in, folks. God bless you. Go to bed, get up, go to work, and keep living for Jesus Christ. God bless you.
That we're...